great our Lord Jesus really is. Page 74 in the back of your hymn book, and then we will turn to Colossians. Jesus Christ is true and eternal God. We believe that Jesus Christ, according to his divine nature, is the only begotten Son of God, begotten from eternity, not made nor created, for then he would be a creature, but coessential and coeternal with the Father, the very image of his substance and the effulgence of his glory, equal unto him in all things. He is the Son of God, not only from the time that he assumed our nature, but from all eternity, as these testimonies, when compared together, teach us. Moses says that God created the world. And St. John says that all things were made by that word which he calls God. The apostle says that God made the world by his Son. Likewise, that God created all things by Jesus Christ. Therefore, it must needs follow that he who is called God, the Word, the Son, and Jesus Christ did exist at that time when all things were created by him. Therefore, the prophet Micah says, his goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And the apostle, he hath neither beginning of days nor end of life. He therefore is that true, eternal, and almighty God whom we invoke, worship, and serve. I can hardly think of a more appropriate text than Colossians 1. Let's turn to that. Colossians chapter 1 in connection with Belgian Confession, Article 10. I'm going to read the first 17 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Here's our text, 15 through 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the age of 86, Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, was arrested and charged with treason. He refused to recite the oath of loyalty to Caesar, and consequently he was brought before the state officials for questioning. With the rise of the emperor worship cult in Rome, every citizen of the Roman Empire had to recite a brief formula as an oath of loyalty. Caesar, Kurios. Caesar, Kurios. Caesar is Lord. The response of Christians was, we will honor the civil magistrates. We will pay our taxes. We will strive to be model citizens of Rome. But one thing we cannot say, privately or publicly, are those two words, Caesar, Kurios. To do so would be to commit cosmic treason, because our Lord, our Kurios, is Christ. 86-year-old Polycarp was brought into the arena before thousands of spectators, where the state officials gave him one last opportunity. If he declared, Caesar, Kurios, he would be released. Before thousands of people, Polycarp said this, I quote, "For 86 years, my Lord has been merciful and gracious to me. How can I now deny him? Jesus is Lord." His confession cost him his life. He died as a martyr. Caesar is Lord? No. Jesus is Lord. Is that your confession this afternoon? Jesus is Lord. Congregation, the passage that we are considering this afternoon is a very beautiful and powerful passage, for it puts Jesus Christ front and center. It is one of those portions of Scripture that should leave every believer in awe of the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, the author of Colossians, was a man deeply in love with Jesus Christ. Ever since his conversion on the Damascus Road, he spoke of Christ, he preached Christ, testified of Christ, worshipped Christ, led sinners to Christ, wrote of Christ, and gloried in the cross of Christ. Christ was the center of his whole life. Christ was the one who brought meaning to Paul's existence. Everything that he did and said was with the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord. Kurios. Kurios. Congregation, as you go about your daily tasks, you need to have that unshakable confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to love him. You need to walk with him. You need to trust him. You need to rely upon him. And you need to serve him all the days of your life. The all-important question for each and every one of us is, who is Jesus Christ? And what is my relationship to him? Who is Jesus Christ? And what is my relationship to him? You know, there are millions of people in North America today who are totally confused about the origin, the meaning, and the purpose of life, and the goal of life. Millions of people have been raised with material abundance, good education, excellent opportunities, yet they do not know who they are. They do not know who they are, nor why they are here. The late Dr. Francis Schaeffer said, the damnation of this generation is that it doesn't know why it has meaning. Well, I want to remind you this afternoon that life does have meaning. There is a reason for your existence. There is purpose for your life. You are not the product of an impersonal evolutionary process. You are created by God, made in the image of God, created to glorify God. The origin of your life is from Christ. The purpose of your life is to bring glory to Christ. The destiny of your life is to dwell in the presence of Christ. That is, if you are a believer. Young people, listen. You can be the most brilliant person in the world. You can study at the most prestigious university. You can acquire much wealth. You can be the most athletic person around. But if you do not know Christ and love Christ and submit to Christ, I tell you, life becomes meaningless. Many families, marriages, and relationships are being torn apart today because Christ is not central to their thoughts and lives. And therefore, our text for this afternoon is a very significant one, for it reveals to us the glory of Christ and His power in creation. He is worthy of our worship and deserves our devotion. In verses 15 through 17 of Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul directs our attention to four important points concerning the person and work of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the true and eternal God, is the invisible made visible. Number one. He is the preeminent one. Number two. He is the mighty creator. Number three. And He is the sovereign sustainer. Number four. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the true and eternal God, is the invisible made visible. He is the preeminent one. He is the mighty creator, and He is the sovereign sustainer. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God? Verse 15. It means that in Jesus Christ, the invisible God is made visible to us. The nature, the character, and the attributes of God have been perfectly revealed in Christ so that in Him, the invisible has become visible. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 14, verse 9, He who has seen Me has seen what? The Father. And John 1:18 says, No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Jesus Christ, in His humanity, displayed the glory of the invisible God. In Christ, the righteousness, goodness, holiness, wisdom, and power of God was revealed. Now, brothers and sisters, when we read that word image, you see that word there in verse 15. When we read that word image, our thoughts are immediately directed back to the first chapter of Genesis. For in Genesis 1:27, we read that God created man in His own image. Mankind is made in the image of God. God created man with true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Man was made with the unique capacity to mirror and reflect the character of God. However, while man is made in God's image, he is not himself God. Many people would like to be God. And many people put themselves in the place of God, but no matter what he does, man can never be God. Man will always be a creature. Man is made in the image of God, but he is not God. It is here that we see the uniqueness of our Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Colossians 2:9, if you were to flip ahead to Colossians 2:9, you find these words, For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Jesus Christ is the perfect, absolutely accurate image of God. Hebrews 1:3 describes Jesus as the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. The Son is the perfect representation of God's being. And so if we want to know what God the Father is like, we need to consider the life and ministry of the Son. He is the one that reveals to us the Father. Through Him, the invisible God has become visible. He is the exact representation. And congregation, how tragic it is when people reject the Lord Jesus Christ. For when the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected, God the Father is rejected. The Jewish religious leaders who despised Jesus Christ thought that they stood in a good relationship with God. They thought that in the pursuit of their religious traditions, they were honoring God. If someone were to have asked them, Do you love God? They would have said, Well, absolutely, yes. They observed all the ceremonies, they kept all the feasts. But when God in human flesh stood before them, they couldn't stand Him. He irritated them. In their hatred, they finally took him and crucified him. And in that act of crucifixion, the Sanhedrin was spitting in the face of God. They were showing their true hatred for God. While they thought that they served and honored God, they showed by their attitude to Christ that they really hated God. For Jesus is the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. If they really loved and honored God, they would have loved and honored Jesus Christ. And that's also true today, brothers and sisters. People sometimes say, I believe in God. I believe in God. Yet they show no honor for Jesus Christ. They say, I believe in God, yet they use the name of Jesus to curse. Brothers and sisters, he who rejects Christ rejects God. For through Christ, the invisible God has become visible. He is the exact representation. Second, and not only is Jesus described as the image of the invisible God, but Paul goes on to say in verse 15 that he is also the firstborn over all creation. He is also the firstborn over all creation. Now you need to pay attention to that particular verse here. There are some who have stumbled over these words, concluding that Christ is part of creation and therefore not truly God. You will have Jehovah's Witnesses coming to your door. Jehovah's Witnesses understand this to mean that Christ is part of creation. If Christ is a created being, then obviously he cannot be the eternal God. Some translations of the Bible read, the firstborn of all creation. The translation of firstborn of all creation sounds rather ambiguous. The New King James reads, firstborn over all creation, which removes some of the ambiguity. But however you translate it, these words are really not so difficult when you look at the context. Context is extremely important. Look at the context. The context makes it clear enough that this title is not describing Christ as a created being. The following verses go on to show that Christ is the creator, not a creature. We'll look at that in just a moment. He is the creator. The term firstborn does not mean that he was the first created being of the universe. It is a term of preeminence and dignity. It means that he is the highest in rank. The firstborn over all creation means that he is the Lord of all creation. In the Old Testament, the firstborn son was the heir. He had the right of inheritance. Jesus Christ has the right to the inheritance of all creation. He is the preeminent one. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 says that God has appointed him heir of all things. He existed before the creation and he is exalted in rank above the creation. Christ is never to be identified as a mere created being. He is the eternal God who possesses authority over all that is made. He existed before all creation as the supreme being of the universe. Verse 17 confirms this when it says, look to verse 17. He is before all things. He is before all things. When the universe was brought into being, he already existed. There was never a time when he was not. Jesus said to the Jews of his day, which I made reference to just a few weeks ago, before Abraham was, boys and girls, before Abraham was, I am. In that statement, Jesus was claiming for himself an eternal preexistence. The tense of the verb is significant. Before Abraham was, I am. I am is timeless. Jesus not only existed before Abraham, he always existed. He is Yahweh, the ever-living, ever-present, eternally existing God. I am was a clear claim to deity. The prophet Micah said of the Messiah, his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Jesus Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. He is from eternity to eternity. He is the great I am. In the book of Revelation, he is called the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He began all things and he will end all things. Yes, Jesus Christ is the firstborn, the highest in rank over all creation, the Lord of all creation. Now, dear friends, this is not just pie-in-the-sky theology. The fact that Jesus Christ is the firstborn over all creation has practical implications for our lives. We who are creatures must submit ourselves to the preeminent one. We must come under his authority and submit ourselves to his will. We who are creatures must bow before his authority in every area of our lives. We need to bring our marriages under his authority. We need to bring our families under his authority. We need to bring our businesses under his authority, our farms under his authority. We need to be sure that he is the most important person in our lives. If Jesus Christ has been given dominion over all things, if he is the heir of all things, if he is the highest in rank, if he is the king of creation, then everything that we do must be with a view to pleasing and honoring him. You know, the reason we are seeing so much unhappiness today in our society, so much brokenness, is because the supremacy of Jesus Christ is not being acknowledged. Jesus Christ is not being acknowledged as the sovereign Lord. When a society does not acknowledge the supremacy and authority of Jesus Christ, everything gets thrown out of kilter. A high percentage of North Americans today are living for pleasure rather than for Christ. As a society, we become extremely self-centered rather than Christ-centered. And as a self-centered, pleasure-seeking society, we can't prosper. We were designed to find our pleasure, happiness, and fulfillment in Christ. We were designed to glorify Christ and enjoy him forever. Congregation, your whole life must be devoted to the sovereign Christ. He deserves your daily worship, and he is worthy of your constant adoration and praise. You need to confess that Christ is the preeminent one 365 days of the year. A number of years ago, I read some statistics, which I put into my file, published by Statistics Canada. Between the late 1960s and the mid-1980s, the divorce rate increased more than 5 times. I'm sure that is significantly higher today. The number of single-parent families has increased by 34% from 1981 to 1991. Violent youth crime increased by 116% between 1986 and 1992. The suicide rate for young people between the ages of 15 and 19 increased by 600% between 1955 and 1992. Ask yourself, what's going on? What's happening? When a society does not acknowledge the supremacy of Christ, when he is not worshipped and served as the king of creation, when his word is ignored and rejected, there will inevitably be very painful consequences. Congregation, if you wish to live within the security that God intended for his people, you must continue to put Jesus Christ first in your life. First. You must acknowledge him as the image of the invisible God and the firstborn, the preeminent one over all creation. And then thirdly, the Apostle Paul goes on to describe the majesty of Christ by calling him the creator of the universe. He is the mighty creator. Look with me, please, to verse 16. Verse 16. For by him, boys and girls, who is him in verse 16? For by him, Christ, all things are created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Far from being a created being, Jesus Christ is the creator of created beings. We read in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. The visible world and the invisible world find their origin in the creative power of Jesus Christ. What this means is that every time you observe the wonders of creation, you should be reminded of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the intricate details of creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the grass, the flowers, the birds, the animals, the fish, everything declares to us the glory and the majesty of Christ. Remember that, young people, as you go to Tamarack next week. You will be reminded every day of the glory of Christ. As you get up early in the morning and you see the mist rising off the lake at Camp Tamarack, and you see the sun breaking out, you will be reminded of the glory of Christ. The beauty of a sunset should be a reminder to all of us that Jesus Christ is Lord. The flowing of a river should remind each and every one of us that Jesus Christ is Lord. The stars shining in a dark sky. The waves on the sea, the opening of a flower, the singing of the birds, the chirping of the crickets should all proclaim to us the creative power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, look through a microscope. Look through a microscope at some tiny object and you'll be reminded of the glory of Christ. He made it. Reveals His glory. All that you see around you each and every day is a testimony to the wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You cannot step outside of your door in the morning or look outside of your window without being faced with the glory of Christ. The simplest things in the created universe proclaim His greatness. It has been said that the wisest of human engineers could not improve the control system found on the tail of a common squirrel. The wisest of human engineers could not improve the control system found on the tail of a common squirrel. It's no wonder that David, after observing the beauty and the marvels of creation, wrote Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Yes, the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ is proclaimed to every star. His glory is proclaimed through every blade of grass. Through every cloud that floats in the sky, through every frog in the marsh, and through every minnow and turtle in the lake. For by Him, all things are created that are in heaven and that are in earth. All things were created through Him and for Him. Nothing exists that was not created by Christ. And therefore creation owes its praise and honor and worship to Him. The universe exists for its Creator. Brothers and sisters, as you live from day to day, never lose sight of the glory of Jesus Christ. May this text cause you to see the majesty of Christ each and every day. May your ears be open to hear the shouts of creation declaring its Maker's praise. And may your homes be places of worship where the Lord of creation is honored and served. So many people today seem to plug their ears to the shouts of creation. So many people are willfully blind to the display of the majesty of Christ. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Paul went on to say, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Instead of honoring the Creator, many in their willful unbelief honor the creature, and Christ is not honored. I ask you this afternoon to examine your life. Whom do you worship? The creature or the Creator? To whom do you render honor? To the creature or to the Creator? Christ is the sovereign Lord, true and eternal God, and He deserves your undivided commitment. Notice, brothers and sisters, in verse 16, how the Apostle Paul points out the creative power of Jesus Christ, not only in that which is visible, but also in that which is invisible. You see that there in verse 16? Beyond what we see with the physical eye is another unseen world. Paul mentions thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. It's a reference to the angels. They too were brought into being by Jesus Christ. They are called thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers because they are those through whom God administers His authority in the world. Jesus Christ created various ranks of angels through whom the will of God is accomplished. There are various places in Scripture where we see how these created angels show their devotion and love for Jesus. For example, in Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah was given to see the Lord. You know that passage. It's a wonderful passage. The prophet Isaiah was given to see the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. But in the 12th chapter of John, it tells us that the Lord whom he saw was in fact Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw the pre-incarnate Christ sitting upon a throne. And above his throne stood what, children? Angels. Angels. These angels cried to one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The created angels sing their praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. They worship Him as the Lord of the heavenly armies, the Lord of hosts. They acknowledge Him as being the thrice holy, the holiest of all, whose glory extends throughout all the earth. In the book of Revelation, we see the same thing, don't we? The Apostle John heard the voice of many angels around the throne, 10,000 times 10,000, and they said with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." All the host of heaven, all the creatures of the unseen world worship the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's their maker. He's their maker. And they proclaim their maker's praise. Yes, the angels too were created through Him and for Him. They serve Him. They worship Him. They honor Him. They perfectly fulfill His will. So Paul tells us that the power of Christ extends far beyond what we are able to see, hear, or touch. The visible world, the invisible world, the seen and the unseen, the tangible and the intangible, everything was created through Him and for Him. And then finally, the Apostle Paul also describes the Lord Jesus Christ as the sovereign sustainer of the universe. He's the image of the invisible God, the invisible made visible. He's the preeminent one. He is the mighty creator. And he is also the sovereign sustainer. We find this in the 17th verse. Look with me, please, to verse 17. The sovereign sustainer. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Or in him all things hold together. Jesus did not only create the universe, he also sustains it. He holds all things together. The author of Hebrews says he upholds all things by the word of his power. One theologian said this, listen, I like this quote. Jesus Christ is the principle of cohesion in the universe. Jesus Christ is the principle of cohesion in the universe. He keeps it from turning into chaos. Throughout all of creation, we see order and structure. There is day, there is night, there is sunshine, there is rain, there is spring, summer, fall, and winter, there is seed time, and there is harvest. Brothers and sisters, that which maintains the regularity in creation is not chance, fate, or luck. Neither is it the laws of nature or Mother Nature. Rather, it is the Son of God who holds in His grip the reins of the universe. He holds the reins so that the universe is guided according to His perfect plan. We have a good illustration of Christ's power over creation in Mark chapter 4. Jesus had been teaching the people all day, and when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side of the sea." You know the story. As they were moving across the sea, Jesus lay down and went to sleep on a pillow in the stern of the boat. While He was sleeping, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it began to fill up with water. The Sea of Galilee can sometimes become extremely tempestuous. The violent winds can whip the sea into a fury. This is what the disciples were up against on this particular night. Even though they were experienced men on the sea, they began to lose hope. Their fishing boat was being swamped by the towering billows. Finally, in their fear and desperation, they woke up Jesus and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" When Jesus heard their cries, He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The raging storm was immediately calmed at the command of Jesus Christ, "Peace, be still." Jesus asserted His authority over creation. He spoke, and there was immediate response, an immediate response so that the sea was like glass. The story then concludes with the response of the disciples. Mark 4, verse 41, it says this: "They feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him?'" Children, how would you answer that question? Who can this be? The answer to their question is very simple. Only God Himself can control the weather. It requires deity to change the weather. In the calming of the winds and the waves, Jesus proved to His disciples what Paul states right here in our text, that in Him all things hold together. Even in His humanity, in His state of humiliation, Jesus proved that He holds in His grip the reins of the universe. Brothers and sisters, there is so much comfort in this thought. Still today, Jesus Christ is in control so that every breeze that blows does so at His command. Everything in all of creation responds according to His perfect will. You know, every drop of rain, every single drop of rain, every single snowflake in the wintertime is guided and directed by Him. Therefore, we need to look to Him through all the events in our lives. He is the one to whom you must turn for all your needs. He is the one that you must submit to even when the circumstances of life are not what you would like them to be. The Son of God, who upholds all things by the word of His power, will also uphold you through the trials and disappointments and the sorrows of life. He even sends His angels to you as ministering spirits sent forth to those who will inherit salvation. As you look by faith to Jesus Christ, you can go on in your Christian journey with confidence. He who has authority over thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers has authority over you, each and every one. You are to live for Him, and you are to promote His honor. He is the one who gives you each new day. He is the one who gives you breath. The fact that you're breathing here right now, because of Christ. He is the one who puts food on your table. He is the one who provides you with employment. He is the one who gives children or withholds them. He is the one who blesses families. In Him we live and move and have our being, said the apostle. Then remember to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, dear people of God. Keep your eyes focused upon Him. He made you, and He will keep you as you walk by faith in Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. May God bless you and prosper your ways, congregation, as you trust in Jesus Christ, the true and eternal God, the image of the invisible God, the preeminent one, the mighty creator, and the sovereign sustainer of the universe. May your lives bring much honor and praise to His great and holy and precious name. Caesar, Kyrios? No. Jesus is Lord. Kyrios. Kyrios. Lord Jesus, what a wonderful revelation of Yourself we find in this passage. Oh, how often we underestimate Your greatness, Your glory, Your majesty. And how often we take for granted all that You have done and all that You continue to do for Your people. Oh, Lord, we pray that You will give to each one of us here eyes to see the majesty of the Lord Jesus. That when we observe the beauties of creation, we will confess Jesus is Lord. When we stand amazed by the things that You have made, oh Lord, that we would confess the majesty of Christ. And may we be comforted, oh Lord, knowing that our Lord Jesus, who created the universe, has not left it to run on its own, but that our Lord Jesus continues to uphold all things by the word of His power. And Lord Jesus, You are in control, and You are directing our lives. And oh Lord, that You will do what is good for Your people. Help us to trust You. Father, we pray that if there's anybody here who is not able to make that confession, Jesus is Kyrios. Oh, Lord, we pray that You will work in their heart. We pray that You will focus their hearts and minds upon You. Oh, Lord, that You will deal so graciously. That You will bring sinners under the authority of the Lord Jesus. Recognizing their need of His saving work and recognizing the privilege of being part of His kingdom. Please, Lord, work in the hearts of all of us here and fill us with a desire and a longing to exalt Your name. Hear us, we pray, in the name of the One who is Lord, our Savior. Amen.